Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Elizabeth Rapp, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yay! We've got Elizabeth back on the show. This is, I think, your third time being on the show?
And it's funny because I was just on Golden Briefcase, and I thought, and they were like,
did you take my spot?
I think we're neck and neck.
I told them they have to have us on together.
We need to have a showdown.
Have a smackdown or something.
So like, and I said, I bet Kevin will have me on Fat Guys in the Movie soon because like, that always happens.
I didn't even know. I feel bad that I'm like, it was really last minute,
so it was like, it's okay.
I'll have to talk to Tim and Jeremy about that.
We need to have like a year-end smackdown.
I think the last time I was on the Golden Briefcase, I was coming home from seeing Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I think.
Well, and see, that fits, because like, I was on there for reboots for The Thing, so.
The Thing.
I was just glad I got through it, because the parrot was in my shirt again, and like he kept popping out, and like, went, ah! And
don't
like,
we all have that problem? Oh, wait, you're really talking about a parrot. Okay.
Yeah, mine's not a euphemism.
It's not something, shame on us. I'm sorry. Hey, let's get through the paperwork first so we can continue talking about parrots and sundry places. You can get a hold of us at fatguysinthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys Network or Fat Guys in the Movies, and you'll pop right up. You'll get the whole, if you do Fat Guys Network, you'll get all of the podcasts. You can go to Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. Like us and adore us and rub us all over your bodies. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We got one of those this week from our good friend Thomas from Seattle. And we also have we don't have a voicemail, but if you want to leave one, you can leave us at 740-205-6456. We got a spam one on for the Idiot Boxers. So, which was like, are you happy with your credit rate? Something like that. So. anyways, what's going on in your life here, Elizabeth?
Not much.
All right. Well, bye. We'll see y'all later.
Really, it's been pretty. Screener award season starting. Like you and I are both like being buried under movies. And of course, when you have the time to watch movies, you know, you watch something stupid instead. Like, you know, let's put on something I've already seen.
Let's watch Police Academy 6.
Instead of Melancholia. Or The Wire came, and I was like, oh, I got to get through The Wire.
Like, oh, the pressure of Netflix.
Yeah, sorry, Melancholia, you're going to have to wait. And, you know, so otherwise, it's mostly been like, you know, working a ton, watching, trying to find time to watch movies, and parrot sitting. So
that's parrot. How is Tuco doing?
He's doing better. He's learned. He is saying his first words.
Are they? Shut up.
Yeah, pretty much. it's Blondie. You know.
Does he make a brock sound every time? Because in every movie you see, or TV show, they got a parrot. It always starts every sentence with brock. Polly want a cracker.
He'll just come out and say it. Like, I mean, because he does that, rah, 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 like, as his usual sounds. And then he actually hasn't said his words in a while, but I had him on my finger, and I was talking to my mom, and he turned to us and said, hello. And it was one of those moments, like, I was thank God there was an eyewitness, because I was like, did I just hallucinate that? Like
he turns to you, he says, hello, how was your day?
Yeah.
I have washed my feathers today.
Yeah. It was really unsettling. It's weird. It's just kind of odd. So luckily, my mom had also heard it. And then when she was pet-sitting him while I was gone, she had to... He said hello a bunch of times, and then he said Tuco one day, because I said hello, and then he went, hello, and I said Tuco, and he said Tuco, but then that stopped. Like, now, he's been muttering whole sentences, he will do it when
muttering?
I'm talking.
Is it a crazy man? Does he, like, play with his feather over his eye and go, I'm gonna kill him eventually?
Pretty much. Like, he'll be sitting on my finger, and I'll be saying something, and he starts going, rah, 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 rah. It's like kind of like Abed on Community. He's like, rah, 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 rah.
Or is he mocking you? He's like, oh, she's talking again. Blah, blah, blah.
He either thinks he's talking or he's mocking me. And eventually it will. And he's been trying to pierce my lip a lot lately. So I guess he wants to. We're going to have some girl with the dragon tattoo lip ring action. That's what I promised everybody. Like, if he successfully gets through my lip, I'm going to go get a big lip ring. And
You know, you gotta capture this. You gotta videotape yourself 24 hours a day, because one day you're gonna be sitting there and he's gonna go, Brock Benzai! And he's gonna pierce your lip all in one, like, fell swoop.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, where was my camera?
I know. Like, I totally, I need to get a new iPhone anyway. I need to get the video capability.
Get the parrot talking app.
Yeah, get the parrot talking app, and because I'm sure there is one. And but yeah, Eloise, he is really sweet. Like, most, I say that he doesn't even mean to bite, like, out of, he's just kissing too hard.
Oh my God, you sound like Bella from Twilight.
I do sound like, well, no, actually, this is very Twilight-esque, because I was talking to a bird breeder over the weekend, and I said,
he draws blood.
Yeah, I said, what does it, you know, like, I get that he's bonded to me, and he's protective of me, because, like, if anybody walks by, he will attack that person. And then he turns around and he attacks me. And I was like, what is this, like, Ike and Tina thing going on? You know? And she's like, well, what he's trying to do is he sees that as a competition, as a threat. So he bites you so that you will fly away with him and be away from the threat. And I was like, oh, so he does it out of love. Like,
this is... Did you get this parrot at the trailer park? What kind of white trash?
I do.
If I beat her, she'll love me more.
Yeah, I think I kind of did. It's like, he's from Florida, so maybe.
This is like an Oscar movie in the making. Speaking of award screeners, this is like a Michelle Williams movie. Yeah. That's going to show up on the Oscar bait list next year.
And he's like, and I'm like, why does he bite me when he's like, just sometimes sitting in my hand and we're having like a perfectly nice day, and then suddenly he'll just start gnawing on my finger. And she's like, out of love, like, because when you see a mated pair, they often are just biting each other for, you know, out of affection. And it's like, oh, so out of love, he split my thumb open out of love.
The parrots are just mean people. That would be like, it's like if you just lifted that, like, trailer park and you put it into an alien world, and they're like, oh no, he's just beating her because he loves her, which is, I guess, true.
Yeah, so
it's just not the most appropriate.
We do have like a Bella and Edward thing. Yeah, he's like, you fly away, fly away.
I'll save you. Draw blood. Oh, it tastes so good. He's like gonna get like he's gonna get his beak pierced.
Yeah, and then he's gonna just like mope around a lot. He's like, why don't you love me?
And then he's gonna befriend a werewolf.
Well, he is sort of friends with Elliot, so I guess we're kind of like, Elliot hates him, as werewolves do hate vampires. But then, like, he wants to, like, preen his hair.
But wait, is like a pack of pugs show up to, like, beat him up and be like, oh no, you're breaking the treaty?
I'm sure like that will happen. I don't. Elliot has a lot of dog friends in the neighborhood, but he, you know, it's like,
what is he? It's like West Side Stories. They're doing dances. Yeah. And when you're a pug, you're a pug from the day of your.
Well,
first
it's weird. Like, people are like, oh, this is your pug friend. I'm like, Elliot doesn't really like your dog. Like, I don't really know where people get this idea that, like, you know, he's their friend. You know,
because he's a dog. Yeah. He wags his tail and he runs around, and he's what, 20 pounds?
He's pretty small. And it's, I mean, girl dogs, he's like the George Clooney of the neighborhood, because girl dogs love him. Like, they will run up and give him kisses, and he's like, oh, like, he'll drag me down. I'm like, I'm sorry, my dog's a jerk. Like,
I don't have any, I don't have my testicles.
Speaking of which,
we need to introduce the next movie. We're going to play you out on the trailer. The first movie we're going to review is Happy Feet 2, Mumble and a Son are the only penguins that can help the herd escape from being trapped by a glacier.
Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah.
I've been here for years, rocking my pills, putting suckers in fear. I'm gonna take this itty bitty world by storm, and I'm just getting warm.
We're bringing Fluffy back.
But there are plenty of reasons to dance.
What's mine, Pa?
The only way to find out is to try it.
Come on, son. Let's shake this world.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We were not talking about movies in the last one. We were talking about the bizarre parallels Elizabeth has with her pets and Twilight. So, and George Clooney, the dog.
George Clooney, the dog.
Yeah.
I should have named him that. Like, if I'd known, I would have named him George Clooney.
Should have named him Clooney. Just Clooney.
Just Clooney. That's my, my dog, Clooney.
We got to wait till he goes gray a little bit.
He's kind of gray now.
Is he?
Like he's
is
got
he
some little, cause I don't know, black, you know, pugs with the black faces, they go, they get a little bit of, so he's got like a little soul patch. It's gray.
Soul patch.
It's like, I was telling him, that's so 90s. That's not cool.
Yeah, that doesn't look cool. Once George Wendt wore that in the on the TV show with Tay Leone, it went out of style fast.
Soul patch.
Anyways, Happy Feet 2. I want you to take first crack at this because you got to see it, didn't you?
I never got my screening invite. I know. Go figure.
What did you think? Did you see Happy Feet 1?
I did see Happy Feet 1. For the audience at home, I'm gonna march out and see this one because like that little penguin's like tappy tappy. It's like, oh god, there go my heartstrings.
You be apologizing. Smack.
It's like, you know, I know. The first one had, like, some dumb bits, and I'm sure, like, this is a gratuitous sequel. Then they bring out that dancing penguin, and it's like, great. I'm going to have to pay to see it.
You're so easy. You're just like, look, a dancing penguin.
Yeah.
I'm bringing Flexi back.
Yeah. It's so easy. I'm like, you know, because I was like, oh, Happy Feet 2. That totally tarnishes the first Happy Feet. And it's like, there's a baby.
Oh, look.
But no, I did like the first one, and I did like a really sort of scathing piece on film.com because like my problem with it was always that Mumble was like quasi weird baby looking. Like once he gets like he turns into Elijah Wood, the movie's kind of creepy.
This is one of my beefs about the first Happy Feet is they had that adorable advertisement where you had the little Mumble as a little baby penguin doing the tap dance, and that's all it was. And you're just like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
When you got to the scene of the movie, it was that awkward, weird looking adolescent penguin that was the Elijah Wood penguin,
yeah.
And you're just like, I don't want to see that. It's sort of like the Lion King when there's a little Lion King and they breeze through a dog. I mean, you see him walk across a log as an adolescent, and that's it because they're smart because they're like, these adolescents, this is the this is the lion version of pock-faced acne.
Yeah.
So let's not show that.
Yeah, when he's got like half a mane and he's all skinny and... He smells bad.
and that's what they do with this Happy Feet. It's like, it's Elijah Wood. All other emperor penguins has the nice emperor coat. Not Mumble. Mumble still looks completely stupid.
Yeah.
He's the ugliest penguin on the planet.
And I don't really know why they did, you know, I did it. This is like, and I sort of threw this horrible, it's like science into it, that if Mumble is like some genetic freak, he's going to like infect the rest of the penguin herd and they're all going to die.
Because he can't sing, because that's his whole thing.
He can't sing, but he can dance. And he can't stay warm with those fakey weird feathers. And let's face it, he wouldn't be sexually mature if he was like half baby still. Yeah,
somehow he's got a kid.
Yeah,
this is sort of like 16 and pregnant, the penguin version.
It's like, I don't know why they didn't, because if you think about, and you have kids, so maybe you can be like, no, Beth, you were wrong. But it's like, okay, if you think about kids that saw the first Happy Feet, but if they're like, I have to see Happy Feet 2, they're going to be old enough to understand like that Mumble was a grown-up. They could have made him look like a grown-up penguin.
They could have just made him grown-up. He's,
yeah, and it's like,
he's
kids
married to a grown-up penguin because
Gloria's
grown-up. Totally different voice because Brittany Murphy died,
yeah.
But they got pink. And here's the thing. This is my problem with it's an absolute mess of a movie.
It's
like
segue
Honey
to the person that's seen. Like,
it's like the Honey Badger. It just doesn't give a shit. it just does what it wants. It's like, hey, let's put these penguins. It is just this collage of stupid scenes crammed together.
Aww.
And here's the thing, it's beautifully animated. It looks gorgeous. Let me tell you. It looks beautiful, and it's so, you like see the sky and the landscape and the animals, and you're like, you can't believe at times that they're actually computer generated, but pretty pictures don't make a movie.
Yeah, that's too bad, because the first one did have a really good plot. I thought it tied in. I mean, people knocked it for its environmentalism and stuff, but it was a legitimate story. They're, you know, the Antarctic is overfished, you know.
Well, but here's what they do with this one is, it's supposed to be that, because the first one was like, oh, be yourself and do your own thing. And then, you know, and this one, it literally starts with all the penguins singing and dancing, and Mumble's trying to get his son to dance. And he doesn't want to dance. He's like, no, you have to be yourself and show yourself. And I'm like, you're shunning him because he's not doing what everybody else in the herd's doing. it's just forcing him into conformity. So any sort of like individualism message is lost.
Oh, that's too bad. Because yeah, the whole first movie had the almost like weird, I shouldn't say weird, like the gay overtones, like, you know, dance with your boy. And yeah, like, because now he's back and you rejected him and, you know, he's like abnormal. And that, yeah, because it sort of was there, especially with like the southern accents. And yeah, I don't know, it was kind of hinted like a wink, wink. Like, have you rejected a kid lately?
It's just, no, this movie, it has these inexplicable moments where they're just like, you know what, it's been like 10 minutes, we haven't had a song, let's throw in a song.
No.
And it's just weird, out of nowhere, it is, and then it sort of like takes that Michael Bay action movie thing where they're like, you know what, if, oh wait, people might not be knowing what's going on, let's just move the camera around and throw things and get crazy, and like humans show up and then just disappear, and they don't care, they show up and then it starts snowing and they're like, whatever. It is nonsensical.
What about Krill? Like, I have to ask about, because the Krill are a big part of the new ad campaign with Brad Pitt's like hick voice and
yeah,
Matt Damon and
the whole thing is these two Krill, and one of them wants to be his, again, it's like, I want to be myself. I want to do my, I'm going to become a predator, and then his friend who these two actually do have a weird sort of gay overtone. They almost start to address it at one point, whether or not they're going to be a couple. It's weird. I don't know what they're doing, and then they're like completely back off of it. So it's almost like they're saying, yeah, you might think that we're like Ernie and Bert, but we're totally we're sleeping in different beds here. So they don't, they it's like they kind of tip their hat to it, but then they stampede away from it because they don't want to offend either side. So the Krill are doing their own thing, and they make no sense. They don't. They sort of collide at the end with the penguins.
Because the penguin,
but it really makes no sense. that storyline also just completely abandons the be your own individual, be yourself. It's like, no, conform with everybody.
That's kind of, you know, it'd be an interesting thing to like kind of study, like in 2006, and obviously the years that Happy Feet. Because they take like 3 years to animate or something.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, was there more of like a free independence thing like when they made the first Happy Feet? And now it's like, no, I'm sorry, we were wrong. You have to conform you know what this with is? The herd or else.
this is like the Ice Age, the second Ice Age movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where the first one was cute. And the second one, they're just like, we need to make another movie. I don't care what the plot is. Just throw this in there and this in there. Oh, we got an elephant seal. Let's throw that in there. And it's all over the map. I'm now disappointed
because I was looking forward to some dancing penguins.
Oh no, there's dancing penguins. That's the thing. If all you want to see is cute dancing penguins, there's just
I can YouTube that.
So stupid. It's tedious and it runs too long. And actually, it does run too long because I was noticing, because everyone sits and is like, oh, penguins, cute penguins. Let's bring a child to this movie. And yes, it's a kid's movie, but, you know, don't be bringing like a 3-year-old. The 3-year-old's going to get bored with it.
Yeah.
And because I actually brought my 3-year-old and he got bored with it. And they're not going to wear the 3D glasses. And the kids, and I saw a lot of kids getting antsy and moving around, you know, like the 7 and 8-year-olds watched it.
Yeah.
But the real little ones, I don't know. I think the first Happy Feet won the Oscar for two main reasons for animated film. One, it was partly because of the very, very strong environmental message, because the Academy responds to that sort of thing. And also because it was up against Cars,
yeah,
which was not the best Pixar movie. And I don't know. I hope it doesn't. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people are going to go gaga over, because I didn't think the first Happy Feet was great.
No, I mean, okay. It like you said, the first half is like really cute. The baby penguin, and I think that Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman as the parents, I thought that dynamic was actually really funny and touching. And yeah, and then it just got creepy. And then Robin Williams voices all the rest of the characters. So.
Yeah, he kind of does that there, too. Yeah. Yeah, so. I'm going to say it sucks, so I'm going out on a limb, or I'm going out on a glacier.
Yeah.
So there's that. We have another movie to talk about. This one, have you heard about this film? It's kind of coming in under the radar. It's the new Twilight movie.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I've heard of it. Can you tell me a rundown?
Yeah, Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1, Wine, 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 Angst, 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 Sparkle, Sparkle. Sparkle. I'm sorry, I hiccuped in the middle of it. That shows how much I care.
I, Edward Cullen, take you, Bella Swan, to love,
to cherish. As long as we both shall live.
The fetus isn't compatible with your body. It's too strong and fast growing.
It's crushing you from the inside out.
Your heart will give out before you can deliver.
You did this.
I can't see Bella's future anymore.
We don't know what they bred. We have to protect the tribe before it's too late.
You're the enemy now.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We just we left on the Twilight Saga trailer. It's not a saga. I'm sorry. This first of all, can I just take issue with that? It's not a saga. Star Wars.
Saga nowadays. Like, you know, yeah. Just everything just gets slapped with that label. Like, it's so easy to be a saga.
It's like the Jack and Jill saga. Star Wars is a saga. Yeah. Lord of the Rings is a saga.
Yeah, you have to carry something to Mount Doom to be called a saga.
Yeah,
like, that'd be like... getting boinked by Edward, not so much.
It's just, I mean, it's not a saga. I mean, sure, and you know, this is exactly what's wrong with the series, is... to the completely pathetic teenage girl that this woman represents. It is a saga because it's all about her and her life and everything. But yeah. You're not a fan of Twilight.
I'm not a fan of Twilight. Like, I tried for a while, and, you know, everybody's got their thing. So I don't hate on the Twilighters or Twihards or whatever they go by nowadays because they've changed their nomenclature.
That's the Trekker version of Twilight fans.
You know, so I don't hate on it, although I've gotten some flack from... I kind of, like, wax and wane like the moon, because, like, there's been a few of the Twilighters who have been really mean to me, so it's like, you know what, I hate you, and I hate your franchise. But then
you have that much estrogen running through your system. You know, you're bound to lash out.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, after seeing... I kind of, you know, people were like, oh, they were... they took over Comic-Con and they were so badly behaved or whatever. But after seeing what the Harry Potter fans did to the case of Horcruxes, I was like, wow, you just made the Twihards seem really rational and calm.
What did they do? What did they?
Oh, they were. They had to be pried off the glass. Yeah, they had to prop Horcruxes there from the movie. Uh-huh. And they had to be pried off the glass. Like, Warner Brothers, you know, they always... you've been to Comic-Con. They always have, like, something cool at a, you know, at various things from movies. And the Harry Potter people, they wouldn't leave. And finally, the Warner Brothers people had to pull them off the glass and be like, if you've had a picture of these things, you need to be getting... we need to be clearing the space. It is now a fire hazard.
Do they have to bring in, like pepper spray and...
You know, I'm kind of... they probably did once I left, I swear. Like, it was scary, and it's like, you do realize these are props from a movie. They didn't actually contain the soul of Voldemort.
They're not real.
I did, like, a snarky piece while I was on the floor of Comic-Con, like, who's crazy? Who's the nuttier fan? And the Harry Potter people were really like, well, we just really need to touch something associated with the film, and... yeah, I was like, whoa.
Like, dude, you can buy those on eBay in about 3 weeks for $50.
And I mean, they had, you know, by comparison, and people rag on comic book fans, they had the Abin Sur prop from Green Lantern there as well. Like, you know, people, you know, Green Lantern fans look cool, snap picture, walk off.
You mean like a statuette of him?
Yeah, it was like, you know, him and, like, I think it was like what his corpse was. Like, I don't know if it's what...
Was he in, like, a craft? Was he?
Yeah, he was in like a pod, and he was dead. Like, his eyes were closed.
Do people
stuff.
Really realize he wasn't going to give him a ring and ask him to join the Green Lantern Corps?
Yeah, people. You know, they were totally logical. They were like, snap a picture, walk away. Like, neat, the prop from the movie. Whereas apparently the Harry Potter fans were like, that contained the soul of Voldemort.
That must be real. It exists in three dimensions. Well,
yeah,
you know,
I've never seen like fingers dragged across glass before. I was like, like, the people are, like, trying to gently, like, usher them to the exit of the display.
The thing with the Twilight fans is I do not disparage fandom. That's great. And I understand.
Yeah,
here's
the
thing.
We've all got our thing, you know.
You know, Twilight, I don't... you know, look, if you love Twilight, if you love it for what it is, that's fine. If you like it for the romance or whatever...
I like the way you said whatever.
Whatever. The problem I have are the people that go a little overboard. And I talked about this when Eclipse came out. And I'm like, well, it's kind of creepy that you got these 40-year-old women that are like going, Taylor Lautner, Taylor Lautner. And they're like panting and bouncing their legs. And you know they're wet in their seats. And you have to, and I remember I even made a point, I posted on my Facebook page, I made some comment about it. And this woman I know, who I went to high school with, so she's my age, she's like 40. And, well, 38 at the time, 38 or 39. So she's like, well, it's not, it's the same as, you know, dirty old men were like gaga over like Britney Spears. And I'm like, well, you know what? Here's the difference. When Britney Spears was doing like the Kiss Me, Touch Me, whatever, Baby One More Time video, the schoolgirl, guys watched it and were like, oh my God, she looks good. And she's 16. And they're like, and they feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Women don't give a shit. They're just like, whoa, let me rip my loins over Taylor Lautner. And what's the worst part is this woman that I went to high school with, who's a sweetheart. I love her. But she has a son who is the same age as Taylor Lautner. And I'm like, do you not see how disturbing this is?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are guys that are like, she's 16. That's old enough in my state or whatever. But, you know, I definitely think there's a... Women are given sort of a pass, like it's okay. And it's like, if it was your son and he's like, Mom, meet my girlfriend, it's Mrs. you know, whatever from first grade, you know, I think it'd be a bit of a problem. Like, I don't think Mom would be cool about it.
You know, they ran into that with Desperate Housewives when Eva Longoria's character was sleeping with Jesse Metcalf's character. It was all cool and hot. Oh, isn't that neat? And then the mom of the character shows up and she's like ready to sue her. And it was kind of this shocking thing where people were like, oh, I guess that is wrong to have sex with somebody half your age who's still in high school and underage.
Yeah, and it is like, there is sort of, I mean, even on the guy's perspective, it's like cougars, like, you know, it's kind of hot or something.
Well, cougars are like, you know, 40-something going after 20-something. That's totally
fine. I mean, it is, but it's like there is sort of a pass even just by, the, you know, on the guy and on the woman, like, it's just sweet. Like, it's motherly, you know, or something. It's like...
I went to go see... Because one of the people said, oh, well, you know, Taylor Lautner's 18. I'm like, yeah, but he wasn't 18 when he filmed this movie. This one he did, but the last one And then, like a week or so later, they opened Beezus and Ramona, which happened to open on Selena Gomez's 18th birthday. So obviously she was 17 when she made the movie. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted out, I go, oh, by Twilight standards, I can stand up and hoot and holler if they show her in a bikini.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I would be ostracized if I did that. Well, part of it, it's a G-rated movie, so probably wasn't the place to do that.
You would be like, hey, I think of something hooting and hollering, it's like off. But I think of like those guys in Temple of Doom, the way they're like swinging their arms around for
Molaron. Oh,
Ricardo. So I always imagine like when a lady walks in a bikini and they're like, I hoot and holler. It's like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. Come on, seriously? It's totally, totally socially acceptable. But now here's the thing with the Twilight movie. This is the most boring goddamn movie I've seen this year. Well, you know what? Tree of Life I thought was boring. This is just as boring.
And this is the only review for Twilight and Tree of Life.
That references Tree of Life. But it is, you know, the last two movies, I really panned the first Twilight. And the other two movies, as much as everyone just crapped all over them, I said, you know what, at least there's something else there. It's not just this, you know, just this explosion of estrogen angst going through. And there's a lot of it in the other two movies. But there's in the second movie, there's all the stuff with the Volturi and what their rules are and that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, at least there's something else going on. It's not just Bella going, I just need people to pay attention to me like 24 hours a day. The third movie, there's that whole thing with the character of Rachel Lafitte. Well, it turned into Bryce Dallas Howard, morphed at the last movie. And she's amassing an army of vampires and the werewolves, or the shapeshifters, because it's not really werewolves, are going after him. So you had that whole side angle, and you're like, yeah, the Bella and Edward thing was stupid, and they could have taken them out. But at least there's something else interesting. There's nothing else interesting in this movie. It is wall-to-wall, Edward and Bella. Nothing happens. It's got about 15 to 20 minutes of plot. They get married. She gets pregnant. And she's going to be...
Yeah.
That is the entire... If you watch the trailer, the entire movie's in the trailer. Not even in the trailer. The poster gives everything away. Because she's with Edward. She's married because she's got the ring. She's got the baby bump. And Jacob's all sullen and sulky over in the... That is the entire movie right there on the poster. It is just nonstop the... And it's her just... I just want the attention. And oh my gosh. And there's literally a scene where they're all kind of huddled around her. It makes no logical sense. I mean, forget the whole. I'm not going to overanalyze it and go into like, well, you know, vampires don't have circulation, so you can't get an erection.
I want to analyze that.
Well, because they can't, because erections come from blood flow and the constriction of blood flow, and they don't have blood flow.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time for vampire writers to admit they do.
They apparently do. And that's the problem. They just have... They go on the honeymoon, and they spend their time not having sex and not playing chess correctly. For some reason, they play chess through their honeymoon. And they don't do it right. If you actually watch what they do... I'm like, that is how freaking lazy this movie is. That they didn't even research...
They didn't even bother to method act.
They're like, just move the pieces around. You have white pieces, you have red pieces. And I guess it's because they got a chess piece on the cover, which I don't know what it signifies.
I think it was... You know, there's like... Yeah, I'm not touching that one.
Well, because the first one had the apple.
Yeah. I know, like, each one symbolizes something, and I don't know if it was, like, Bella is making a move to a new life, like, checkmate, I don't know.
Or maybe it's Bella getting completely beaten down by Edward, because that's the other
Bella
thing.
Bella is a pawn of Edward.
She is. And Edward's the king. But here's the thing, if I had a daughter, I would keep her as far away from these movies, because really the message of this is that he can choke out a bitch, but as long as he loves her, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene, when they have the sex scene, he bruises her up, and then the next morning he's like, oh, I shouldn't. She's like, oh, no, it's okay, I like it. I'm like, what is this saying?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, because people are like, oh, no, it's good because it's a good message about sex. I go, no, it's not. The message is girls want sex, guys don't want sex at all. Hint, guys always want sex.
Yeah. They
always want sex. And even if they don't find you attractive, they'll still take the sex. So... And it's just the woman just like, oh, no, I want to. And it's like the total, complete immature mentality of a girl, of like a 15-year-old girl saying, oh, I want to have sex so I can be a woman and I'm going to be different and glowing. And the guy is going to be restrained. And I'm like, no, let's watch it when Edward's on the sofa in his boxers burping and farting while he's watching football.
Hey, remember, there's no circulation, so they're not going
to... Yeah, he's probably not farting.
He's not going to gain no weight, apparently.
Exactly. It is the most boring, boring movie I have ever seen. I'm exaggerating, but it's probably easily one of the top five most boring movies of this year.
What about the the birth scene, the much talked about, much controversial, can they even film it birth scene?
It looked like they smeared Vaseline on the lens and then shook the camera a lot. And the thing is, I mean, it makes no sense. It just makes no sense. And of course, okay, I'm going to warn people. I'm going to talk about the whole movie here because I'm going to rant. All right, so spoilers.
If you've never heard the plot of Twilight, as it's, you know.
Well, because the thing is, everybody knows what this. I even saw on, like, movietickets.com. It's like, what are you anticipating? Bella becoming a vampire, Bella giving birth, Bella whining. And I'm like, well, that's the entire movie right there.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, when they take the baby out, he, like, literally eats her, he rips open her belly with and then like she bleeds out. And then one point that Jacob's like, you killed her, and I'm like, no, the lack of medical attention killed her. You didn't stitch up her stomach after ripping her guts out. Literally ripping her guts out. But you don't even see it. It's all kind of like shot and out of focus and weird. It looks like a Steven Soderbergh film for like that 2 minutes.
Soderbergh came in.
Yeah, he's like, let me direct this the way I did Full Frontal and And then
wait,
the
wasn't
baby?
There somebody who did step in and did some weird stuff on Breaking Dawn, like Soderbergh, or
did he? I don't
was
know.
That a dream?
You may have been drunk. I don't know.
Maybe you were a dream I had.
Maybe you were having a fever dream after being attacked by Harry Potter fans.
Yeah.
But no, and then the thing is, here's the thing, and I actually said that, I tweeted this out, and I said there is more in common with this Twilight movie and Serbian film than anyone would care to admit. Because here's the thing. Again, this is a spoiler, so you're fair warned. When the baby's born, it's a girl, and Jacob comes in and imprints on the girl. The girl's like minutes old. It's sort of like he's like, Edward, you went after 16-year-old, I'm going after 16-minute-old. And I'm like, and I'm watching this.
The ball.
And I mentioned it to my wife, who's a big Twilight fan, so, you know, she probably won't want to listen to this episode. And she's like, well, no, imprinting means that they're just connected to him and they're going to protect her. I'm like, no, it's kind of pervy, kind of, and the thing is, when he like has his vision of her when she grows up, but it's not like a woman, it's like a 14-year-old girl. And I'm like, what is it with the pedophilia in this movie? This whole series is all about old dudes wanting to not have sex, but totally have sex and choke out young women. It is the most absurdly awful concept veiled under this romance.
Yeah, I would have to agree with, I mean, you know, I disagree with some of the, you know, the criticism of Bella. Well, she's such a cipher. I hate to think women are modeling themselves on her, because I think it is mostly women imprint, you know, I'm Bella, and they project onto her. That's why she's such a void. I'm not saying she's a good character. She's a total void, but that's because, you know, women
she's
are
a
like
blank slate. Yeah,
fitting themselves into that little, you know, cutout outline and be like, I'm, but yeah, I think the message of, the obsession, the violent, you know, and this is coming from somebody who loves Wuthering Heights. There's a lot of things in
that
Twilight
gets a pass though, because that was written at a sexist time.
Yeah, well, and it was, you know, it was also supposed to be, you know, which is something I think the Twilight characters missed. As much as, like, you know, women are kind of drawn to the character of Heathcliff, the book is very much implicitly telling you this guy is a sicko who rapes women, who beats women, who, you know, wants to destroy this family. You should not like this character. You should actually like some of these other nice characters. And I mean, the fact that this evil character is so appealing, you know, that's, you know, I don't know, either a fault of Bronte's or just something terrible in human.
It's you know? The soap opera of the day. Yeah. You know, and but that's the way it is in soap opera. There is this weird, I mean, it's an obsession to have it happen. Women go for danger. Women do like danger. Yeah. And men do. Don't get me wrong. Men like danger, too. Men are totally for the crazy. Why else do the men go for these movies with the free-spirited crazy chick? I mean, it cuts both ways. But you have it in that very safe fantasy framework. Mm-hmm. And we said off the air, I used the example off the air earlier to Elizabeth. I said, you know, there are women that want to be just have Hugh Jackman run into their room and take them. But it's not going to be, that's not how it really works. I mean,
no.
They do look like
well,
Hugh
and it's,
Laurie.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I don't, again, like Wuthering Heights, and it would be nice to see a book or, you know, a more savvy author of something like Twilight would have probably tackled it, is that, you know, there is a character of very Bella-like character in Wuthering Heights that is so drawn to Heathcliff and is just sure she can, like, tame him and change him, and he's just really misunderstood. And Kathy, who's his great love, is like, you'll never, you know, you're nuts. I mean, he is who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's also the jealousy if she doesn't want. And so she runs off with him. And Heathcliff is like, ha ha, what an idiot. He runs off with her. And they come back. And, yeah, she is, like, beaten to an inch of her life. He's admitted to raping her, you know. And he admits, like, you know, to everybody in the book, you know, these are the things I've done to her. And I wait to see if she'll come crawling back. And she always does.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, you know, you kind of, like, you know, Edward Cullen on Mr. Rochester and on Heathcliff. Like, you know,
has she said that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's where the Edward part of the name comes from is Rochester and Jane Eyre, which, again, is a character that gets broken before the girl, you know, kind of gets him at the end. I mean, he ends up, like, hideously maimed and no longer the sort of sexy bad boy that he was. And
yeah. Well,
so, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it would be kind of cool to see the version of Twilight that is Wuthering Heights in a way of, you know, somebody that does this for a vampire and then is like, I made a terrible mistake.
But the thing
I made
is
a huge mistake.
There's no depth in the characters, and that's the thing. And I've challenged people. And I said, what is the appeal? Why does Edward love Bella? I have never in my life gotten a straight answer for that. They're like, oh, well, it's because he wants to court her, or he's such
I've
a
heard
gentleman.
That, yeah, his blood sings to her is always the excuse I get.
Bullshit. Don't give me that bullshit.
And that's what they do on, like, I've told you off air, like, that's what they do on True Blood. Like, what is it about you, Sookie? And she's like, well, I don't know. And it's like, yeah, I don't know either. Like,
well, yeah, but that's what they do, because that's the most response I've ever gotten. My wife, because she's read all the books, she's like, oh, because her blood is so, basically, she's so tasty, and she's so delicious. And I'm like, well, that's not a... That's like just saying, well, I like Zooey Deschanel because she's got those big blue eyes or whatever color they are.
That's saucers. Even worse. Like, that's saying, you know, Zooey Deschanel's bone marrow tastes delicious, so I would really...
I'm sure her bone marrow is delicious. Thank you
I would
much.
Like to go out with her. It sings to me. Like,
that's kind of creepy. And it's like... And they're like, oh, well,
like, I like Edward's such a gentleman. Guinness pie. Like, I don't want to marry it. Like, you know, like, it sings to me.
It sings. Yeah. And again, the same thing. I'm like, why does she love Edward? There's no, like, okay, he saved her from a car crash. But they literally give no other reason aside from the fact that he's just a cool dude.
Yeah.
There's no, there's zero depth.
He has sparkly skin. He has weird eyes.
Oh, you know, the sparkly thing's even worse. Because you know what's worse than a vampire that sparkles? A vampire who doesn't sparkle. Because... They never sparkle in this movie. They're walking around in sun. They fucking go to Rio de Janeiro for their honeymoon. Rio de Janeiro! Wandering around in the sun and the not an area sparkle. I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. Now you're just ignoring shit from the other movies because it's going to look stupid.
Well, yeah, because I mean, they got knocked. And I thought they were starting to scale that back through the movies, but I wasn't sure. Like, I heard mixed things and couldn't tell from... Because it doesn't show up in pictures and trailers. Like, even in the trailers, when people said, Edward Sparkle, I was like, not seeing it. Like, it's a weird effect. Like, it's a bad effect.
He sparkles. He's supposedly in direct sunlight. They're supposed to sparkle. But they wander around and it's like... And I'm like, how direct does the sunlight have to be for them to sparkle? And like I said, they go to Rio de Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro. And they never... And I'm like, well, okay. You're not even paying attention to what you've laid out.
Yeah.
And then,
that's
like,
bad.
So when she gets, like, impregnated by this vampire, they're like, oh, the vampire, it's so strong and everything. And I said to my wife, I go, why didn't he just make her a vampire when she was pregnant? And she had no answer. She had read the book. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, that's a big fucking hole, don't you think? Because if the vampire's killing her from the inside, isn't this an option? You know, it's and here's the thing. Like I said, there's no depth to the characters and no actual... And the acting's just god awful in this movie. It's probably the worst since the first one. But
which is so funny because, like, you know, I had the fortune of sitting in the junket at Comic Con, and to hear them talk about it, you would have sworn they were putting on like Macbeth, like how much work they'd gone into, you know, because they really wanted, you know, and it was like, and Taylor Lautner talked at length about the imprinting scene.
What, with the baby? Where
yeah, like how he had to, like, brood and, like, stare at it, and he was, like, trying to do it on camera, like, to the audience, and I was like, I cannot laugh there during this movie. Like,
Taylor
Lautner, he's like...
There's a scene where he walks out of the cabin, and he squats down and starts crying, and it was, like, worse than the entirety of Abduction, or Abducted. Oh, this movie is just... And it's going to make billions of dollars because all the Twilight fans are going to go with their exploding vaginas into this movie and love it. And that's fine. You can take your exploding vaginas and enjoy it.
There is something, and I would like to pose this to Twilight fans because it's a hard question to answer. And I, as a fan of many properties, I don't know that I can answer it. Well, Twilight, it seems... You know, it's like it's already... It's catering to the people who read the books. It's not drawing, it's not bringing in new fans like, say, Lord of the Rings. The movie attracted lots of people who'd never read the books, who hated fantasy, and walked out going, I loved those three movies. Maybe they pick up the books, maybe they don't. Yeah. And it's sort of like, what is the appeal when you're already a fan of the property? You know everything that's going to go on in the property. You've already pictured it in your mind. What is the appeal of seeing these two movies, and especially something like Breaking Dawn, where they're deliberately stretching it out to another movie, which just... I don't even understand.
That's a total... See, now, like, take that to compare it to Harry Potter. Yeah. The Deathly Hallows. You can definitely make the case that the Deathly Hallows Part 1 was too long and didn't have as much to it, and that was probably only about an hour or so of plot, and they stretched it out. And, yes, you're right. Now, the book did go kind of lengthy as well.
Yeah.
And it had a good ending, a stopping point, and that worked. But you know what? You could have not made Deathly Hallows into one movie.
Yeah.
At all. It would have been 3.5 hours long. This movie, this whole 2-hour ordeal could have been a half hour. They literally have a half hour of the wedding, of the getting ready for the wedding.
Well, when you have a whole trailer that almost plays like a spoof of just the wedding invitation going out to people, when that's your trailer,
honestly, then
you're going to figure like that wedding's like 3 hours long.
I watched it and until they actually got to the actual wedding, this could have been a sequel to Vampire Sock.
Yeah, I thought it was. Like, I mean, every time I saw it, I'm like, what is this? Oh.
Literally, the first shot of the movie, it opens up Summit logo and then Breaking Dawn. And then they show the front of Jacob's house. He walks out with a wedding invitation, rips off his shirt. I mean, we are not even 30 seconds in the movie. He's got his fucking shirt off. And then he turns into the wolf and runs away. And I'm like, and I laughed out loud at that scene because I'm like, really, seriously? And at that, it was almost like you watch that first 15, 20 minutes and you really kind of think Bill Condon's making fun of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And then the summit came in and is like, yeah, you got to get this rest of it serious.
Maybe.
I because there's a lot in the beginning where I'm just like, you know, this is almost like it's poking fun at itself. And then it gets uber serious. And it is literally, because the whole series is about Bella just wanting people, just wanting attention. And here's the thing, because I got kids, and just because your kids are a certain way doesn't mean it's okay for them to be that way. Just because they have certain feelings and actions and reactions does not mean that that's appropriate. Just because your kid wants to hit somebody, and it does not mean that they should, even if they feel like they should. And just because a 13-year-old girl wants to have everybody focus on them and wants to be fought over by different people and wants to have more than one boyfriend, wants to have a boyfriend but the friend zone in the pocket, just because girls want to do that does not mean it's right.
Yeah.
And it's basically validating shitty behavior on Bella's part. And that's my problem with it. I'm like, it's okay to validate these feelings. And I mean, they're very smart in doing it and they're making lots of money doing it. But that doesn't mean that these are good feelings, and that doesn't mean that this is anything to admire.
Yeah, I definitely think, because, I mean, I've complained about this before as just sort of like, you know, if you get me going over dinner, I'm like, you know, we live in an attention-craved society, because it does seem like people, because of social media and blogs and Facebook, like, there's just such a
podcasts.
Need.
Podcasts, oops.
Yeah, yeah. Not us, though.
Like, no, not at all.
I mean, it's like, I have lots of people on my Facebook that are, you know, not they don't work online, so they don't really have reasons to be on Facebook, say posting links or something the way you and I do, where you're kind of dependent on, hey, look at me, go read this piece.
Yeah,
because I really sure
we
got
to drive track of it to our own stuff, so we have to know.
And it's like I have like friends that, you know, they take pictures of themselves doing everything, and it's this need, like they're not real unless you're recognizing them, and I feel like Twilight's either is obviously catering to that, but did it like create it in some way? And some of these girls are just sort of, is this like this
bad? Because
I mean, obviously,
on.
teen girls like can go, I don't want, I can say ape shit.
You can say, you can say it in the middle segment.
Over Facebook.
Swear away, Elizabeth. Go crazy.
Right. Like, oh my God, somebody didn't like my photo. Like, you know, they didn't hit like my friend, and, you know, this need of. And I mean, teenage girls have that anyway, and I feel like there's bigger and bigger platforms for it, and now they have this whole franchise that recognizes it too, and it's validating that behavior and saying it's okay to be needy.
Not only it's okay, it's this is the heroine.
Yeah.
You will get this from the world, and everyone, the world is literally revolving around Bella, and this one more than anything else. It's like, have you ever gone to the Facebook page of like a teenage girl or a girl.
It's actually really shocking when you babysat them and they have boyfriends like now.
Well, it's like I've gone to, you know, occasionally I'll have friends who are either younger or know people who are younger or whatever. And like Merrill on the Idiot Boxers, he has, I've clicked through some of the friends of his that are from college or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can tell these like completely vacuous, no personality, but pretty girls who, if you look at if you can get to their photos and you click photo profile pictures, it's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, of pictures of them just
in front
smiling,
of a mirror,
puckering their lips, looking off. Yeah. And it's just dozens. And it's just like, I'm pretty, I'm cute, I'm pretty, I'm cute. Aren't I cute? And then click to one of the pictures and look at the comments that they give each other. And they're like, oh, you look so cute, girl. Oh, aren't you hot?
I know.
Oh,
that's exactly.
And you're just like, oh my God, you're right. It's that I need to be validated. I need to, everybody.
Yeah,
I need,
and that friend that doesn't
attention.
Happen to click on that picture and tell him like, oh my God, I love your new lip gloss.
Yeah, you're like, oh,
will
you
be
bitch,
the friend that
unfriend
is like shunned, you know?
Yeah, and that's the kind of, and like, yeah, it's that's a very realistic behavior. But you know what? It'd be like, you know, it's like if you had a movie and all it was about guys just masturbating all the time. And I mean,
it's
like
a Judd Apatow movie.
Teenage boy's just constantly masturbating and looking at girls and pictures of girls with boobs and all that kind of stuff.
Is this what being a teenage boy's like? Is this what you guys do?
It's and then have him save the world. But that's the thing. It's incredibly realistic and it's valid. I mean, it's what teenage boys do, especially when they got an internet connection and some Kleenex. But that doesn't mean we need to make a movie out of it.
Yeah.
I've described true. Twilight as emotional pornography, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, I disagree with, you know, some of the sentiments, like, and I've had guys say to me about, you know, girls are going to, like, hold out for a guy like Edward when they should just settle for the guy next to him. It's like, no, let's give girls a little more credit. Like, I held out for a guy like Wolverine. It didn't do me any good. So,
still holding out for him.
Yeah, still holding out for no,
what's
honestly,
that Hugh Jackman
look-alike
going to come?
Yeah, I don't see, like, you know, women know the difference between fantasy and reality. Like, we all saw Last of the Mohicans. It didn't mean, like, we were like, oh, well, Daniel Day-Lewis will show up and like, save us from whatever. I mean, we don't, you know, we end up marrying whoever. It's just not, you know, it doesn't warp our, like, you know, point of view. Like, there's this, I find it interesting, there's been, and you're accepted, you're a dad, and you have very valid opinions on this series. I mean, because I've had, like, a lot of, like, you know, young guys come to me and be like, it's dangerous to women. You can have that
opinion. I don't
think
it's dangerous to women.
But, yeah, it's sort of this bizarre protectiveness. Like, I will monitor your entertainment, women, and you will know what's good for you. Like, yeah.
I don't think it's dangerous to women. I don't think it's necessarily going to warp them. But if I had daughters,
yeah,
I would have a problem with them.
I don't. And I'm, you know, it's not like I probably wouldn't let them read it. Knowing my daughters, they either wouldn't read it or they'd read it and think it was dumb. If I had a daughter that was doing, like, you know, fanning herself, I'd be like, you know, I'd like give her like a hard, I shouldn't say that, hard slap, but I would be
woman. Give her the hard slap.
I would not be encouraging that. I do not like high, you know.
Well, I mean, for
that's
that matter,
not appropriate. You can be a fan of something, but you're becoming dangerously unhinged, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, to use an example, my wife, we have three sons, and they're too young to see this movie anyways, but I know my wife's not going to, we monitor what they watch, and even when my oldest, who's 10, when he starts getting in teenage years, we're not going to let him watch, like, American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he gets to, I mean, I'll show him The Fly, I've shown him Hellraiser, I've shown him some crazy shit, but we don't want to see him, we don't want a 13-year-old kid seeing a movie where the goal is for everybody to have sex by the time they graduate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think,
you know,
and there's,
not
you know,
that it's
being sex
warp
positive,
them,
but there's, you know, a lot of these movies trivialize this stuff, and they don't show consequences of these things, you know, diseases, pregnancies, whatever. And I do think
vampire babies.
I mean, unless you're old enough to mature to go, okay, this is a joke, this is an over the top spoof of what it's like to be a hormonal teenager.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think it's appropriate. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see Porky's when I was, you know, 10. I mean, my parents didn't let me see that.
Yeah, yeah.
They let me see Poltergeist, but they didn't let me see Porky.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they're just like, hey, don't talk to the TV when it's buzzing.
But, yeah, I learned a good lesson, you know? If ghosts are in your house, don't go with them.
Exactly. Don't go into the light.
Yeah.
But the
and
thing
I think
is,
it saved me many times.
No, but ultimately, I'm gonna get done with the Twilight thing. It's not a good movie, and it's not well made. The makeup looks bad. Probably the best makeup they've had in a while, but it's still
not good.
Bad.
And see, I think that's something. I got off the track, but it's like I don't understand why. Yeah, obviously these movies are made to basically print money. And they don't put a lot of work into them in order to make more money. I mean, you spend less money on the movie, you make more money.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of like, you know, number one, Twilight fans, you deserved better. Like, you know, I'm not saying these things were necessarily that great of, you know, literature, but they could have been improved upon. They could have been punched up budget-wise. It would have been kind of interesting if fans had been like, you know what? This is corny. Like, I thought they'd do better with the material, right? There were areas I thought they could punch it up.
I started to try to read the first book. I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I've tried and kind of skimmed.
Well, and here's the thing. This is another thing. It's just an offhand comment. You know. Do you know what the budget of this movie was?
I'm going to guess like $30
million. $110 million.
Wow.
That's at least what's being reported. Now, I don't know if that's true. But I'm like, where the hell did that money go?
Yeah, because even the CGI on the wolves is bad. Yeah,
you remember how like in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, when you found out that there were no real apes in it, you were completely stunned?
Yeah.
This one, when you find out there's no real wolves in it, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I knew that. You didn't have to tell me that in a factoid press kit.
Because like, those don't look real at all. Because their face morphs around. It's like I had heard that. I'm like, wow. Because like the original was like $18 million.
Yeah, that's what I was. Well, that's why I guess 30. Because they like spent more, and it's like, what's it 30, 40? Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. How did they get that expensive? Because here's the thing, they did not make this movie. And they weren't. It's not like they were like, "Oh my God, how are we going to get Robert Pattinson back to play?" That's not what happened. When Twilight bought this, they bought the franchise and they contract these people in for the series. They do mm-hmm. that now so that they don't ask for $50 million per role in this. So why is it so expensive? That's what I don't get. Because
yeah, I mean,
you don't
what locations, just security. I know they talked about how what a logistic nightmare was to film the wedding. It's probably all security, like.
I don't understand why you could have shot that on a set, and it may have been on a set.
Outdoors because Kristen Stewart talked about like helicopters and the people hanging out of trees and stuff, and how like she was talking to security like, you have to do this great job because like people cannot see me in this dress, and do you realize what happened to me if I get they should get a shot of me in this dress, and
you know what's
going to
happen,
bonkers.
People will see it online and not care.
Yeah, I mean, these people see it. Yeah, these people, Twilight
these
fans,
people.
See it regardless, which is, I mean, the whole thing baffles me. I mean, only because, I think for a true franchise to succeed, a true saga, it's like people, it would have been nice if Twilight, and this is me being very generous and assuming you could really kind of punch it up, it should have drawn in people like you and me. Like,
well, and I think it would have with the last couple movies. This movie, there is no interest in this at all for anybody but fans.
Exactly.
So, actually, with that, that's a great segue, since we talked way too much about it. Let's talk about the box office winners. Well, first, let's just get out. Immortals beat Jack and Jill. Thank God. Even though Jack and Jill still made like $20-some million. So shame on you, America, for that. How much do you think Twilight Breaking Dawn is going to do this?
What if the other... Well, I'm guessing, because what have they... Haven't they all opened? They've all opened ridiculously.
Well, these aren't one-to-one comparisons. Because the first one... Actually, let me look at this. The first one had... It opened...
I remember I was writing box office for the first one, and it's like it had a huge opening, but it wasn't that much in the grand scheme of things or
first
something.
One was $70 million.
Yeah.
That's what it opened. New Moon, which was the second one, that opened with $142 million.
See, I knew one of them had hit, gone three digits.
Yeah, and then the third one was a little bit less, but that was, and there's a reason, because these are all different, because the third one was, its opening weekend was just under $65 million, but then the whole weekend, because it was a 4th of July weekend, it was $83 million. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Wait a second. It made, but it opened on like Wednesday, so it made like by the end of the whole weekend of like the 7-day weekend that they had
took a long
last
time.
Year, $176 million, and it's opening like 7-day weekend. Here's the thing with the Twilight movies in general: whatever they make in the first 24 hours. That is what they make for the whole first weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like, that's pretty much it. Like, it's,
And then what they make in that first weekend is they make about twice that in its entire run. For example, the third one, which had $176 million in, like, that first, like, because we had, like, it was like, opened July 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and then the 5th was a Sunday, but they opened, like, on the, whenever they opened it, because it grossed a lot its opening week, it ends up making $176 million its first weekend technically, and then it makes only about $300 million total.
Yeah, I mean, because it does. It's all domestic. Repeat viewings, and yeah, people who didn't go maybe during the first weekend because they were busy. Yeah.
And the same thing with New Moon had a very similar thing. It was $142 million for opening weekend, grossed just under $300 million.
Yeah.
And then the first one had a little more legs because it was about $70 million, but then it didn't even crack $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are huge money makers, sure, but do you think this is? I'm hearing the number predicted 135 to $150 million this weekend.
I was actually going to put it higher and say like 150 to almost 170, that it would open big because this is, you know, the wedding one and there's been a lot of anticipation, and then it'll maybe drop off faster because it's like, because it's, you know, kind of ends on a weak note. I mean, they have part two to get to. I don't know if the repeat viewing might be as high. Or will it be? Like, will it increase the box office because they have longer to wait, so they got to keep, like, you know, going back.
See, I think...
Going back to the draw.
Twilight's going to win the weekend. Yeah. No question. But I don't think it's going to be doing $140 million for the opening 3 days.
Maybe not. Spread. Maybe it'll be more like...
I'm guessing Eclipse. 120 or less. Yeah. I'm going to guess 100... I'd say 100 to 120. And the reason I'm going so lowballing on that is... I don't think there's any interest whatsoever for anybody outside of the rabid fan base.
Yeah.
And they're all going to go that opening night.
It does feel like it's dying off even just in general. I don't know if it's become so ingrained culturally. Yeah. It doesn't feel like the frenzy's around it as much as some of the other ones.
I don't feel the excitement. Even my wife, who's excited to see it, she's not like... There's not that anticipation there. Mm-hmm. I think they've, well, eventually it'll make more money with the two movies, but they would have been better served by having the whole movie on this one. And the other reason that the first movie came out in November, the second movie came out in November, the third movie came out in the summer. So it was like there was a year between the first and the second. Mm-hmm. There was like 6 months between the second and the third.
Yeah.
And then there's been a year and a half. So I'm wondering if it's slowed down a little bit or if there are people that are going, well, I'll see it.
Yeah.
I don't get that oomph of a frenzy to it. I just think it's just going to, I mean, it's going to do well, but it's going to be soft, I think, for Twilight.
Yeah, series. It's probably going to be, I'm going to agree with you because it's, I mean, originally it's like, you know, I was going to say big because, you know, I did, you know, it was at Comic-Con this year. I did see people lined up and, but again, you know, it was sort of a, you know, it's one of those things that gets so misreported because, oh my God, Twilight took over Hall H, you know, it was nuts while the Twilight, and I happened to actually, nobody believed me because I had to go into the panel that was after Twilight, and I was like, oh yeah. Crap, I better go stand in line now, you know, and I walked into Hall H, walked, and I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom, so I'm gonna go to the bathroom while the, you know, this panel's getting over with. Hall H is only like half full. It was not full, despite the camping out, despite the hype, despite, you know, the stars taking them breakfast for the devoted fans. Hall H was half full. Like, you could just walk in and out, and people were like, no Ooh. Way, like, you know, Twilight had, you know, no, not this year. You know, it's a small population, even within, you know, obviously within Comic-Con, we all said that. And yeah, it's sort of like, you know, within all our years that they filled Hall H, or was that just people trying to get into Hall H in general? So a lot of those weren't Twilighters, you know?
That, like, first year it was there in 2000, was it 2008? Because I was there for, it was 2008.
Yeah, because I was like, what's Twilight?
It was insane, and the Twilight crowd was insane.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing. I think that there were girls that were like 15 or 16 when the first movie came out, mm-hmm. and they're 18, 19. And while they want to see it, I'm also wondering if, like...
But they probably had sex, so they're suddenly less interesting.
That's very possible. But I think also it's sort of like this. It's like sweet. It's like Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
You know, if you did a Hannah Montana, if you tried to revive the Hannah Montana TV show, nobody would care.
No.
No one would care. If you did Hannah Montana the movie part two, nobody would care because it's kind of come and gone. I'm not saying that Twilight's gone.
No. No, it's still very much there. But I do feel like it's almost something that's being more driven by I don't want to call Twilight an industry, but the industry. I mean, it's sort of like a lot of things, you know, that it's like it's a more inflated thing than it actually is. I think the interest is sort of dying off. The people who love it still love it. the people who, you know, were middling towards it, yeah, wandered off and found something else, you know.
Well, and in general,
and the Hunger Games, you know, you got to factor in the Hunger Games too, because that's stolen, I think, a lot of the Twi Thunder, you know, and the fandom, and it's kind of increased because you have people who genuinely, I hate Twilight, but I loved reading Hunger Games, and so, you know.
Well, and if you look at the movie, the one that's been least successful is the first one. The second one was, and the second and third one are about the same. They kind of run neck and neck, yeah. Both.
I always forget there's an Eclipse is like the one I forget.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But I mean, worldwide and domestic, it's just they kind of leveled off. They kind of hit that 300 million domestic window, and they both did about 400 million overseas, which is huge. I'm also very curious to see how well it's going to do overseas, because I'll tell you, you think American audiences are fickle? Overseas audiences are extremely fickle.
Yeah.
So
and you know, Twilight isn't exactly known for its international.
Well, it's done well. It basically duplicates its success. But you know, in all aspects, it's all been basically duplicated. But yeah, I don't know. But overseas, Twilight Eclipse didn't do as well. It did pretty close, but yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the Return of the Jedi equation. The Star Wars did really well. And Return of the Jedi was kind of soft if you actually look at the actual box office numbers.
Yeah, so. People grow up, people move on, and I do. I think that, you know, Hunger Games, you have this new franchise on the horizon. And I think, you know, the anticipation goes away. Like, you know, well, it's over. What's on the horizon? Ooh, Hunger Games. So I think is a part of the disinterest in a way. Like, you know, it is over and done with, regardless of, you know.
Well, in this movie, also
Stephanie Meyer trying to flog it for a little longer, and
everyone is like, "Oh, what's Breaking Dawn about? It's about them getting married, having a kid, him turning her into a vampire."
Yeah,
that all happens in the first movie. All the stuff that's going to happen in the next movie, I don't know, but it involves the Volturi. But you know what? I think that romance and love interest is gone.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
for
so,
the
you
most
know,
part.
For the two, at least,
because Jacob's ready
Moon
to go mack on the daughter at this point.
Come here, baby.
Oh, that's grosser than anything I could have said.
Well, and see, New Moon, I could see why New Moon made more money, because I know that that's even like the people that my sister had read all the books. I think that was when she liked the most, because there's the whole Team Edward and Team Jacob thing. And I think there was enough tension.
Well, there's no question now,
Yeah, there's no question now. Like, New Moon, there was, like, a possibility Bella might go with Jacob, and that's when the whole Team Jacob, that's where they get their, you know, fuel.
Yeah, who's
and
really
now,
running
yeah,
around with
the
Team Jacob
out, like,
shirt
Edward
now.
And Bella are together, period, the end, you know.
Yeah, she's a vampire.
Yeah.
They've had a kid. He's ripped it out of her belly. Jacob's ready to hump that baby.
Yeah, like, Lonnie, I always like to love a baby.
Yeah, it's like newborn porn, vampire style. I don't know. It's just really horrifying.
I think that's funny that you'd think they could have at least had, like, you know, somebody, some censor board somewhere goes, we should show her as a woman. Like, that just shocks me.
It's I mean, because well, you'd be like, well, Taylor Lautner's only like 18 or 19. It's like, that's still kind of gross.
Because it doesn't have to be, you know, you're not saying how old he is. In that future, he's seeing an eventual future. What's the big deal?
Well, and again, he's seeing an eventual future. He's 18 years older than that child. That's creepy. I'm sorry.
It's
what is
show
it with?
Like that? They should do it like Benjamin Button, like the old man with like the small child.
I like my Twilight babies. It's creepy. As you watch this thing, you're just like, because then you put that on there and be like, okay, she's 15 there. Well, Jesus Christ, he's 35. What? How? This is so wrong. It's,
See, and no, thinking, well, and that's only 18. Like, in a, you know, and somebody's going to, like, email you and be like, resume has accelerated growth, so.
Oh, yeah, she'll be 18 in 56 months.
Yeah, so it's okay. So again, you're still going to show her as an adult.
It's still gross. And why do I have to be the one to point that out?
And I'm going to rip off somebody else's. I think it was on Jezebel that said Renesmee was the perfect Renaissance fair name. Like, if you're looking to be a fair maiden,
the
Renaissance.
When they have the scene where they name it, they're like, really? What the hell kind of name? Like, it sounds like you, like, were saying a name and sneezed in the middle of it. It's da da da. terrible movie. All right. Anyways, Twilight sucks. The Breaking Dawn completely sucks. So we've got a listener email from Thomas from Seattle. And this spins into the Twilight thing. He goes, I'm going to read it out loud because it's a little bit lengthy, so bear with me. It goes, what actor, actress, or director has really surprised you in how much you grew to like their work in their career as their career went on? I asked this question this week because we all hate on Robert Pattinson and Taylor Lautner and Kristen Stewart, but it could happen that they all go on to careers that could make movies that could be good with them good in it. His example is Colin Farrell, who he thought was overrated, but when he saw a movie like Crazy Heart, he thought he even acted out Jeff Bridges. So he says, "Give me, are there any examples from your movie-going career?" I will throw this to you first, Elizabeth.
Well, Colin Farrell would be definitely one. Because, yeah, I was like, you know, he was such a hot thing for a while. And I was like, And, you know, it's one of those unfortunate circumstances where their personal life and, you know, his hijinks off screen kind of overshadowed what he actually done on screen, and so you're like,
one too many hookers.
Yeah, hookers, sex tapes, cocaine binges, whatever. Trying to think who else. I'd have to almost say like Liam Neeson was somebody I sort of lost in game. Like it waxes and wanes, you know. Like when he started out, it was like that scrappy Irish guy, and then it was like Then he was a posh period piece guy. Now he's like awesome old man action star.
Awesome old man, kick the shit out of you, man.
God, somebody will really hate me because people will be like, I always loved Daniel Day-Lewis, but I'm going to say Daniel Day-Lewis because as a young...
Because he was such a hack in My Left Foot.
He was such a hack. He was so phoning it in. but yeah, he's somebody that, you know, I found him, he's hard to take, and... You know, I had to sort of kind of go backwards and appreciate him because I was just old enough. Because I knew his name, but he took such a gap during my formative years that I didn't really. So, like, you see him in, like, Gangs, and you're like, oh, God, too much. And it's like, it was going back and seeing some of his quieter performances that it was like, you know, he deserves the hype. Like, I totally.
Well, he shows up in weird He's shown up in weird shit, too. Wasn't he in The Bounty?
He might have been, like, because everybody's in The Bounty.
But it was like a big part. He just like a walk on. He was like Harrison Ford in Apocalypse Now. You know, just like, whoa, my God, what the hell's he doing in there?
God, I'm trying. Well, and you know, Sam Rockwell's another one that, because he was sort of like psycho killer there for a while. Like he
was
popped
like
up.
Gary Sinise, where he played the exact same character in everything.
Yeah, and then now he's like you've seen him do some like really funny stuff, some really sad stuff, and he's somebody I really like. When he's casted something, I'm really excited because you know you're probably gonna get something, you know, unusual from him, and yeah, not just creepy guy in cell number 4, like, hey, I've killed people. He was that guy for a while.
He was, yeah, Green Mile.
And Steve Buscemi, for the same reason, like, it was like, ooh, like that guy, and then, you know,
with the bad teeth, and then he's funny.
And then he was, so yeah, those would be some of my picks. I know I'm missing, like, a big one that I've written about, like, before even, so...
I think it's interesting that he brought up, and he uses Pattinson, Lautner, and Stewart. First of all, I don't think Taylor Lautner's ever going to go on to do anything.
No, I think Hollywood tried too hard to make him happen, and I don't think it worked.
Well, he's not that good of an actor. I mean, he's good looking, but
kinda.
It's just he's got a really awesome body.
He looks like an alpaca in a way.
Yeah, but I mean, his face, he doesn't have a very emotive face. He's a good looking kid, but he's not... Great, and he's a shitty actor, and he's got a great body, and so it works in the Twilight, and then boom, nothing else.
Yeah,
I mean, Abduction, if that didn't prove anything. Robert Pattinson, I think, is terrible, and I think it's not that he's actually a bad actor, because I noticed I was watching Water for Elephants, and he's shitty in that one because he's got that look.
He's shitty in that one.
Well,
awesome.
He's got that look like he's ready to puke any minute. He's kind of like that look in his face. Kind of how, like, Josh Hartnett looks like he's ready to take a crap. or Gina Gershon looks like she's ready. She's smelling a fart, like, constantly. But Pattinson, he runs into the problem with a lot of people who are from either... you see this happen with like, the British or Australian or New Zealand. When they do a lot of American work, they hide their accent, and they're just not that good at it. Now, somebody like Johnny Lee Miller, you would never know has a British accent until he starts talking in it.
And the other one, well, Jason Isaacs is really good at actually doing American accents. He gets kind of shoved off, but like his Philly accent in Brotherhood was incredible, and so was
or even
the one from
like,
The Wire. The I've said Dominic West. Dominic West is. And yeah. I just watched an episode of The Wire where he had to do a British accent, and he managed to not only keep his, you know,
he sounded like an American doing a British accent.
Yeah, he was like, you know, oh, I'll try, like, top of the mall. I was like, wow, like, that's hard to not just immediately, yeah. You know.
And you're right, there's a lot of actors that can do that, but one thing, what Robert Pattinson, he's not that good at
he's
it.
He's not that, yeah.
So his delivery and acting comes out really flat. And somebody else who's not a great actor in her own right, but Catherine Zeta-Jones was like that, because she's Welsh, and so she has a Welsh accent. If you go back and look at her stuff from, like, look at her talking in interviews and stuff in the late 90s or mid to late 90s, especially after Zorro came out in, what, 98? She has a Welsh accent, and a lot of her delivery, like, if you watch Zorro, if you watch the, like, what was that one with Sean Connery, Entrapment? Her delivery is incredibly flat. And then what she started doing is she started hiding her accent everywhere. She just adopted an American accent. And as those films went on, she started to sound more normal, and she sounded, actually could emote through her voice. So I think that's part of Pattinson's problem. And then Kristen Stewart, what's funny about Kristen Stewart, she used to be great. She was fantastic in some of these older, I didn't like her particularly in Panic Room, but she's done some good stuff, and she's really stretched as an actor. And then she did Twilight, and that just killed her acting ability because she didn't act. Catherine Hardwicke was such a crappy director, she didn't actually direct her, so she went to all her tropes and tics. And then she's like, well, this is the way Bella acts, so you don't tell me what to do, Chris Weiss and everybody else who directed me. So,
It's kind of interesting, because I liked Pattinson in Harry Potter. I mean, I know it's a tiny role, and it's not, you can't really judge him. And I kind of wonder, because, like, I want to say the British school, but, like, the guys like him that kind of end up for a while kicking around BBC productions, those parlor dramas. It's like they really learn how to act, and I kind of think he got, like, taken out of the the box too soon, and he had some potential, and he maybe needed to nurture it a little more. But,
well, that's the thing, I'm wondering,
and
if
I think
fame...
it's pretty much squashed. I mean, if he could go away for a really long time and then come back as some kind of huge comeback, I could actually see that.
It could happen, but I mean, like, right now,
it'd have
both
to be he'd have to, like, go slum it and do, like, the worst of the worst of the BBC productions.
Yeah, well, both Pattinson and Stewart have been ruined because when you got too many people coming in and telling how awesome you are, and then you've got this very vocal fan that's like, you suck, they learn to just ignore that and just listen to the Yes Men, and it shows in all their work. I mean, even Water for Elephants, Robert Pattinson's kind of a shitty actor. And everything that I've seen Kristen Stewart in after Twilight has been, like, when she was in Adventureland, which I don't know if that came out before or after Twilight.
I know they talked about, like, she had just signed the deal for Twilight while doing Adventureland. But But I wasn't impressed with her in that one. I don't remember much of Panic Room. I mean, people say she was good in it. I don't remember that movie for some reason.
But, I mean, like, stuff like In the Land of Women, which was a terrible movie, but she was decent in it. I mean, there's other stuff that she's done that's actually pretty good. But not now. I think she's been ruined, and I think she needs to get people. She needs a director who's going to actually direct her now.
Now she's the
actor, because everyone's, like, wants to capitalize on Twilight, so they're putting her in Snow White and all that other crap. So it's going to be shit for the next couple years for her.
I hate to say it, because I don't want to be, like, one of those nerds that judges on poster art and stuff, but when she looks so mopey and lip biting in the poster art, and she's supposed to be this incredible kick ass warrior chick that, you know, it's actually going to be a threat to Charlize Theron, who looks like she could break a bitch. Like, it's like that. What's a cool movie is going to be really undermined by having this weak Snow White. And, you know, they originally wanted an unknown for that part, and now it was like, oh, well, Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. Period. Now, I think the one I will put in there that I'm surprised that I've actually grown to like what she did, not everything she's done, but is Renee Zellweger, who annoyed the shit out of me
beginning. I liked her at first, and now she annoys the shit out of me.
I I'm like, I don't like her. I don't think she's all that attractive, and I think her voice is annoying. But I think she's pulled out some pretty good performances. I thought the Bridget Jones performances were good. I thought she was fantastic in Cold Mountain, even though I didn't like that movie. I actually am surprisingly impressed. Now I can't remember anything I've seen lately that I've really liked her in. Has she even been in anything lately?
No, I mean, she did some bad... I mean, I think the last thing I remember her being in was a movie that had been shelved, which was that, what, Case 39, the one with Bradley Cooper?
Actually, that wasn't too bad.
So,
that wasn't awful.
I did not see it, but it was... Yeah, I got the... I don't know. I'm not really sure why.
It came
and
went, but...
Yeah.
But she's one that I would put in that category. But we've got about 5 minutes left in the segment, so we gotta move ahead to the Fat Guy 5.
I'm trying to think of some other actors, man, because this is like, it's such a good...
It's a good question. A good one. You're like, oh, I'm not ready for it.
It's like I needed to research it first.
while you enumerate on that a little bit, here is the Fat Guy 5 we're going to do in honor of Edward ripping the fetus out of Bella's belly. Which again, here's another thing: they don't actually explain why he had to do that. It just seems completely stupid. You explained it to me because you read that part in the book, but it makes no sense. You're kind of like, why? Hey, there's scalpels right there, duh.
The scalpels are like breaking off her stomach. Like the stomach comes like diamond hard because of some. And again, like the science and the magic doesn't make any sense. Like, how come her stomach would turn hard, but like the rest of her wouldn't?
Let's not try and apply science to this one. But these are five great birthing moments in movies. I'm going to do the first one.
Okay.
And that would be one of the best birthing moments ever is the alien, the chest burster in Alien that comes out of John Hurt and everybody else in the other movies. Also, as a caveat to this, also from Spaceballs.
Yes.
When he sings and dances. So.
And it's still John Hurt. If you... I missed it. The Onion AV Club has an interview with him where he talks all about like and how they got him to do the Spaceballs one. It's really funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and
that's
he's awesome. Like, yeah, isn't that great? Like, hello, honey. John Hurt is like my favorite. There you go. I just, John Hurt, the guy I was kind of creeped out by all the time in all those movies. And
he's awesome now. Yeah. You got the next one.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. Is it when the baby's actually born, or is it when the baby's created?
It's a tough call. I mean, it's like being raped by the devil. I would have to, it's kind of when the baby's created, because she, for a while, she's like, everything's cool. Like, that was just a weird dream I had after.
She's like, why am I so scratched up, Edward?
I love there you go, very Edward, because I love the husband, like, well, you were passed out, but I still just, like, have my way with you. And she's
dude,
like,
it's the
weird.
60s, man. We can do that.
Yeah.
I'm a famous director.
He's like, I didn't want to miss the window.
Yeah, that's what I tell my wife right before I get kicked in the balls.
I can't wait till some guy tries to, I didn't want to miss the window.
You're like, really? Please.
I'm calling the cops. I didn't want to miss the window when I could talk to you through the phone in jail.
Oh, my God. My baby daddy. The next one is Knocked Up. And this is in particular the money shot, which was not actually part of Katherine Heigl, but was a prosthetic meant to be part of Katherine Heigl.
But it made us think it.
As I understand,
Katherine Heigl in all different kinds of ways.
Well, and as I understand, that shot of the baby crowning, in the unrated version, it had pubic hair. And in the rated version, it didn't.
You're probably, because I remember, distinctly when I saw it. I saw it for the first time at BNET, and it was like, the rough cut, unrated. I remember it, yeah.
It had pubic hair. Because the one I saw was the actual theatrical cut. It did not have pubic hair. And the first thing I thought in my mind was, what woman shaves her vagina at 9 months pregnant?
You know, a lot of them do. They go get it
waxed.
Yeah.
At 9 months pregnant?
Oh, yeah. It's like,
how do you reach it? Do you need
to
go to a spa?
No, they have somebody else do it.
How do you get that awesome gig? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. It's easy. You go to esthetician school.
I'll just put aside. I'll be pregnant pube technician. I think I've offended myself.
But no, it's true. It's sort of like one of those, it's especially common, and this will probably make you laugh, in Brazil. I mean, it's...
Of course. That's why it's called a Brazilian.
Of course, yeah. They keep it up all 9 months.
You got the next one.
The next one is, oh, Dawn of the Dead, Money Baby. Zombie Baby.
The Money Baby? The Money Baby. The Money Baby. Hey,
what's
up? Zombie Baby that was made of, yeah, that made a lot of money because a lot of people were like, what? I went to see Dawn of the Dead because of it.
Go see Dawn of the Dead. It was very similar to Bella's Baby that came out, only yeah. it didn't like catch the eye of an 18-year-old kid.
Only because the, you know, situation was wrong, more apocalyptic,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The next one, the last one is the one that grosses you out the most, and that's from The Fly, which yeah. is, do you want to give the official name?
What is there the a more official name? Cause, oh, the maggot abortion?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm nothing just like kidding. Is it an abortion or a miscarriage? Because it's a whole dream sequence, and I was always confused.
I think they use science the way Twilight used science.
Okay.
She had a giant maggot come out of her.
Yeah, I think it was out the window.
It was. I believe it was an abortion because they were using suction.
Well,
I mean,
they do it with.
They don't like drill a new hole for an abortion. That's
well, yeah. I don't know. It was David Cronenberg. His grasp of.
The Canadian healthcare system.
Medical of OBGYNs is faulty at best. I mean, he made dead ringers too, so.
Yeah, they didn't use any of those mutated cervix clamps
yeah,
or whatever
and,
those.
You know, and it's kind of like if David Cronenberg asked you on a date, like, you'd have to think twice. Like, he seems like a perfectly nice person, but. Because there's The Brood too, which has a pretty.
Oh,
it's
all,
not really
it's
so much a birthing scene. I mean, she sort of, I don't know, they just sort of appear, don't they? Or kind of.
Well, The Brood, they come out of her. They're
her
like,
anger manifested.
But don't they come out as, they come out as like blobs out of her armpit, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They come out of something else. Like, that's what I remember.
That's not the fun way.
They kind of had. Like, she kind of like spawns them like a frog, is what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still kind of, I mean, it's just like, yeah, he's got a weird thought of, like, I know yeah. body horror is his thing, but when you think about how many, like, weird birth things he's got going, he's, yeah.
Well, you know, everyone's got their own fetish. We got to go, the honorable mention, because we got to get out of here yeah. and go to the next segment. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Does not happen on screen, but the line is, her first baby came out sideways, and she didn't screen or nothing. Scream or Nothing, which is of course Dylan Baker before he became marginally famous, talking about his wife when she was going to lift a big heavy trunk. With that, we got to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll be doing the DVD roundup.
Okay.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are. In the final segment, we were just unloading all over Twilight in that last segment.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this on the radio in Wyoming and you're not a Twihard or a Twi-mom and you want to hear some people unloading over Twilight, go back and listen to it.
It's like the bulimia of Twilight.
Just blah.
I ate too big of a meal.
Twilight is blah. That was it. That was the entire argument summed up. No, actually, we had some pretty cogent discussions about it.
Yeah.
And
but
and
it's
we
still
went,
pretty
went
much,
and
then and they, we would like summarize those brilliant discussions. But it's just sucky.
it's terrible. It's an awful movie. So, anyways, let's. What do we got coming up next? Here?
It is the world famous DVD roundup.
That's right. You know, last week we talked about that. I talked about this with Ike from It's Mike and Ike. We had Harry Potter 7.2 come out, which is way better than the Twilight movie.
I like that you like felt like you needed to mutter that one. Like
well,
that. Again,
everything's
and
better than like, that burrito I had last night was better than the Twilight movie. You know,
it was more satisfying. It was
more satisfying. There's more substance to that. There's more meat in that burrito, and it was a vegetarian burrito of all things. No.
It was emotionally
so that,
resonant. It echoed through time and space.
There's also West Side Story, which is also better than the last Twilight movie. It's on Blu-ray. It's the first time it's ever been on Blu-ray, I think. And it's the 50th anniversary, loaded with special features, a whole second disc. I just recently saw it for the first time. When this Blu-ray came out, I watched it complete because I had never seen the whole thing straight through. Mm-hmm. And it's a good movie.
It's
a little silly.
Yeah.
Because there's actually one scene where they're in the alleyway, and the jets are mad, and somebody yells out the window, "Hey, why'd you be quiet?" And this guy goes, "You loudmouth crudhead!"
Yeah.
And I'm like, such language from the street gang in New York.
Well, they have such tight pants and choreographed dance moves, they don't have time to come up with really good insults.
That's right. I said in, excuse me, wow, it's late. But I said in my, as I was watching and I tweeted about it, and I said, this is the most well-dressed street gang I've ever seen.
Yeah.
By golly, gee willikers, Officer Krupke.
Yeah, if you saw them today, you'd be like, what nice gentlemen. What nice hipsters.
They would
be
so stabbed in the kidneys.
Yeah. You know, occupy Wall Street, you young men of tomorrow.
Exactly. But it's good. It's definitely worth, if you're a fan of musicals, if you've never seen it, it's worth checking out on Blu-ray because it looks fantastic. And likes the double disc.
Wow, so you've never seen it because I was subjected to it pretty young.
I'd seen bits and pieces of it. It's kind of like Sound of Music. I had never seen it all, like, from beginning to end. I'd seen bits and pieces of it. I'd probably seen the entire movie at some point through watching it, but I never watched it.
Well, it's notoriously used in Oscar clips, too. Like,
yeah.
And the Gap ads, if you'd seen the Gap ads.
Yeah. Well, I've also, I tweeted out the zombie West Side Story trailer that was floating around the internet. There's also Larry Crown, which is not a good movie, but it's better than The Stinker. And it's better than Breaking Dawn. Beginners is also out, which was okay. It's worth checking out if you like that sort of, if you like that artsy kind of relationship movie. It's worth checking out. So that's there. And then, did you have any that you wanted to highlight real quick?
Not really, because it's a pretty
it's not
pretty
a great week.
Because I don't even like Evil Dead 2. How many of those have we had? I think everybody should see Turtle: The Incredible Journey. I have not seen it, but it sounds awesome.
Okay. The Incredible Journey.
Turtle: The Incredible Journey. It's listed as a DVD release on Yahoo. So I don't.
Well.
I think it's a documentary about, like, you know, a turtle that makes an incredible journey. No, it's awesome.
Turtle,
let me read
the turtle goes across the road. It takes the entire movie.
It's really, slow movie, but not slower than Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, so more things I'm pretty sure way more happens in Turtle: The Incredible Journey than Breaking Dawn. The stinker of the week is Bellflower. I don't know if you have seen it.
I haven't because I've heard such mixed things. Some people love it, some people just hate it, and I don't know what I'm torn. Tell me what to do.
It's all this angst and whining. This guy and his relationship with this girl, and she's this free spirit, and have this whirlwind romance, and then they have like a nasty breakup, and it's him getting upset and then growing a beard. It's really bad.
Wow. I mean, because I know when, like, you know, emotionally distraught, like, beard is the only way to go.
I know. It's like you're like, uh-oh. Here's the thing. It's based on the director who also plays the main actor, who plays the main role. It's based on relationship he's had in the past. So if you like that kind of thing, where you got some independent director who's like, I want to put and immortalize on film how dysfunctional of a person I am that I can't have a healthy relationship. If you like that sort of thing, you're going to love Bellflower. I hated it.
Why did I think it was sort of sci-fi?
It has them building a futuristic car like in Mad Max, but that's just sort of like this backdrop. There's nothing apocalyptic about it. And they say, a Lord Humongous, who's in The Road Warrior, not in Mad Max. So they didn't even get that right. Well, we got review wrap up. Both Happy Feet 2 and The Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn Part 1 sucked. And next week we get The Muppets, woohoo, Hugo, which looks interesting, and Arthur's Christmas, which I probably won't see.
I won't.
You got about 15 minutes. Say goodbye, Elizabeth. Tell us where to find you really quick.
You can find me on film.com, and I have some really good pieces up on the Spectator Arts blog if you'd like to read my thoughts on Halo and Drew Struzan's posters. So maybe check those out.
Thank you again for doing this, and we'll see you later.
Oh, no problem.